Hello. Hi, everybody. Good evening. Okay.
Will you introduce yourself?
My name is Shmuel Katz.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
We won't take that against you.
Thank you. What?
What exit?
On the Parkway, 138. The Turnpike 13A.
13A.
All right. Any other questions?
I was exit.
I'm 29 years old.
I was exit 63. I was there.
Okay.
Lonsman.
Long Beach Island.
Now we're all Lonsman, right?
That's right.
Okay. So we're going to talk about tonight Hashem's attributes of mercy. There are 13 of them. We'll get to that in a minute. So everyone in their life has people they don't get along with, people that aren't necessarily always nice to them. Maybe they're insulting, they're not helpful. Maybe they'll borrow your things and break them and not pay for them, give it back broken. They won't apologize for the things they do. It's, you know, everyone in their life might have somebody who's like that or similar to that. And our normal reaction as human beings is that we don't like people like that. And we tend to not get along with them. Maybe we don't want to talk to them. We don't want to have anything to do with them. And that's the natural way. That's the natural way that people react to other people who don't seem to treat them properly. But it's a interesting thing, because when it comes to Hashem, when we act towards Hashem in a way that maybe He doesn't appreciate, that He doesn't want us to act, Hashem doesn't react the way that people react when people aren't nice to them. We use Hashem's world, and we get a lot of goodness from Him, and we don't always do what we're supposed to do, and Hashem doesn't hold it against us. He's not angry at us. Doesn't stop giving us good because of that. And we'll explain how that works later. The 13 midos of Rachamim, of mercy of Hashem, 13 attributes of mercy, are very central when it comes to the davening in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and all the days leading up to it. When it comes to Slichos, we say it many, many times. The Sfardim have been saying it since Rosh Chodesh El, a few times later. Well, you say it in Tachanun all the time, right? But we say it more in Elul, and then when it comes to Erev Rosh Hashanah, we said it a lot of times. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say it before laning. During Aseres Metshuva, we say it lots of times. And on Yom Kippur, we're going to say it a ton of times. So we're saying it over and over and over and over again. So I think it's incumbent upon us to understand them and to understand what the point of saying them is and to understand what they mean and what we're trying to do by repeating this over and over and over again. So in the class tonight, I want to understand why we say the Yod Gimel, the 13 Midos. I also want to understand what would we be accomplishing by just randomly saying out praises of Hashem. It would seem maybe that it's flattery of some sort, and it doesn't seem appropriate that we would just try to flatter Hashem. So I want to understand why this is not flattery and what it is. And the last thing I want to understand in the class is, if there are 13, if in the Torah there are 13 specific attributes, it must be that there are 13 different aspects that Hashem has. There are 13 things that are different from each other, not just 13 ways of saying the same thing. So I want to understand what's different about all 13 and what are the 13. Okay, so I want to know why we say them, what we're doing other than flattery, and what the 13 are. Okay, so I'm going to start with the source. The sources for them, which we have some sheets over here. You want to take and pass. So the first source, everybody got one? Okay. Yeah? So the first source is the Psukim in the Torah, in Parshas Kisisa in Shmos. It says, Vayavar Hashem upon Vayikra. This is taking place in the Torah after the sin with the golden calf. And Moshe goes to Hashem, and he davens for 40 days. And on Yom Kippur, Hashem decides that he's going to forgive the Jews. And he teaches Moshe this trick, so to speak, of how to get forgiveness. So it says, Vayavar Hashem upon Vayikra. Hashem called out, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Racham, Vachanan, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, Riemes, Noser Chesed, La'alafim, Noser Elma, Vafesha, Vachata, Vanakeh. That's the 13 attributes.
Wait a minute, stop. What do you mean that that's 13 attributes?
We're in the first source at the top, yeah? In Exodus 34.
13 right there?
Yeah. What? Those were the 13, what I just read out. We'll divide them up specifically later. Basically, Hashem tells Moshe that if you say these that you should, that he taught Moshe to say these things. And then in the last pasuk there, pasuk Yud, pasuk 10, it says, "Behold, I make a covenant. Hinei anochi koreis bris neged kol amcha asanaflos. I'm going to do lots of miracles for you. Asher lo nivru b'chol aretz kol hagoyim, that you've never seen in the world before." Basically, that through saying the Yud Gimel Midos, there's a bris, a covenant between us and Hashem, as to that He's going to do good for us. That's what it says in the Torah. So the Gemara says, that's the next source, is the Talmud Bavli Rosh Hashanah, that it says Vayavar Hashem upanav Vayikra, Hashem passed over Moshe and called. It says Rabbi Yochanan that if the Torah hadn't said this, we wouldn't be able to say this. Why? Because we learn from this pasuk that Hashem wrapped Himself in a talis, like a chazan, and He taught Moshe exactly how to do this. And Hashem said to Moshe, anytime that the Jews do sins, anytime that the Jews sin, they should do this, what I'm showing you, and I'm going to forgive them. So Hashem, we learn from the Torah over here that Hashem teaches Moshe, do this, and I'll forgive you. And then that's the second source. And then the third source I have over there, also from the Gemara over there, the Talmud over there, Rav Yehuda says that there's a covenant, there's a deal between us and Hashem, that the 13 attributes of mercy always work. If we say the 13 attributes of mercy, they will always work. That you will never say these to Hashem that you won't get something out of it.
You'll be absolved of the bad things.
We're gonna get there. We're gonna talk about that, but it would seem that way. Fine. So this is the sources in the Torah and the Talmud for saying the 13 attributes of mercy, and for how Hashem taught us to do it. So there's a few questions that come out after seeing the sources. The first question is that the first source, the first Gemara source that I brought, says to do the 13 Midos of Mercy. It doesn't say to say them, it says to do them. Ya'asu means to do. It says Ya'asu in that Gemara. So what does it mean to do the Yud Gimel Midos? And in the second Gemara, it doesn't say the word to say, but the implication of that Gemara there is if you say them, then there's a deal with Hashem that you won't be returned empty, that you'll get something out of it. So why does one Gemara say to do it, and one Gemara says to say it? Then the next question that comes out from these Gemaras is that if you go with the second Gemara, that you're supposed to say them, so what's the point? Like, how does it work that you could just say, like you were asking, you could just say a formula, it's like a magic word, and now you're forgiven, and you've done whatever you've done, and now you're forgiven? That doesn't seem to make any sense. In Judaism, we don't generally believe in things like that. We believe in action, we believe in working on ourselves and really doing things to become better people. Just say some magic words and then whatever bad you've done is gone doesn't seem to work in the way we understand Yiddishkeit, Judaism to work. Just to bring out the point, you know, in an extreme way, if somebody murders someone and he's standing over this guy that he just murdered and then he says out, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Chanan, and he says 30 minutes. So he's not a murderer anymore. He's going to be forgiven for what he's done. That That can't be. And also, it bring out even more, if, like we were saying at the beginning, if somebody wronged us, somebody did something bad to us, and then he came over and he said some nice things to you, said, oh, you're great, you're beautiful, you're so nice, would we forgive him? We wouldn't forgive him. You gotta say you're sorry, you gotta show that you regret what you've done, that you don't want to do it again, just to say some nice words. It's empty flattery, and nobody forgives for something like that. Question? No? Okay. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So to understand this, we're gonna come up with two ideas. Really, these two gemaras are both true. There's the idea to do the Yud Gimel Midos, and then there's the idea to say the Yud Gimel Midos. So what are the two things? To do the Yud Gimel Midos means to act, try to act like Hashem. Hashem has certain attributes, a certain way that He acts with us, and we should try to be like that. Hashem is good to us, and in certain specific ways, as we'll see. And our job is to do that. And the Gemara says that if we do that, Hashem will forgive us. That's the first Gemara. If we act in the way that Hashem acts, we will be forgiven. And then the second Gemara is to say them. So we asked all these questions, and how could it be just saying it works? So I saw from Reb Chaim Friedlander, in his sefer called Sifsei Chaim, he explains that Hashem built the world in a certain way that he wants us to connect with Him. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to ask Him for things. So he created us in a way that we are lacking for things, and we need things from Him, so that we should ask for them. So, because through that, we will come to rely on Him, and that will build a connection with us with Him. Because if we're relying on Him and we're asking Him for things, we'll be talking to Him, and we'll have a connection to Him. So that's the idea of the 13 Midos. Hashem wants us to know that He's there for us, that He cares about us, and that He deals with us in a good, merciful way, in a kind way. So He says, when you need something, say these Midos, and it will remind you of how I am with, how I deal with you, and how good I am to you, and therefore I will do it for you, because now I see that you're connecting to me, and you understand how good I am to you, and you feel that, and through that, He will come to do it for you. So the two ideas are to do them, to try to act like Hashem does, and to say them, and through saying them, to understand them, and to connect to the way that Hashem deals with us in these ways. But either way, if we say that we're trying to do it, or we're trying to understand how Hashem does it, either way, we need to understand what they are. We need to really understand how it is that Hashem deals mercifully with us, and then we can try to imitate it and emulate it, and we can really understand how Hashem is kind to us and connect to Him, and then He will be merciful to us. So for the next part of the class, I want to go through the Yud Gimel Midos, and we'll try to explain what they are and how we can try to emulate it. Okay, everyone's clear so far?
What's the Hebrew you're saying, the what Midos?
Yud Gimel, 13.
Oh, you said
Do
Yud
I keep
Gimel.
Saying that?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I just couldn't hear what you were saying. But
Yud Gimel is 13.
Yud
Gimel. It could be Shlosh Esrei. Just another way of saying 13.
Yeah, you're just adding it up. So right. It's like saying 10 and 3.
Right. But in Hebrew, you wouldn't say Yud Gimel. You say Yud Gimel means 13. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. 13 Midos.
No, I just didn't know what you were saying.
Okay.
But let me ask you one other question. You're saying that one concept is acting like Hashem.
Right.
That's not really a concept that we are taught. Like you're supposed to act like Hashem. Like
there's a pasuk in the Torah that says "V'halachta bedrachav." You should walk in His ways. You should try to emulate Hashem.
Like you're supposed to act like Hashem.
Yeah.
For example.
Well, we're going to give examples, but Hashem wants us to try to emulate Him.
Visiting the sick.
In the way that He's good.
Abraham,
He visited the sick, and we learn from that to visit the sick.
Right, there's a second concept, but you're not specifically.
We're not saying that.
Okay, we're not supposed to be Hashem. We're supposed to try to act like Hashem. We're supposed to learn from His good ways and learn that that is what is good, because Hashem is the ultimate good. So if you want to know what's good, what's a good way to act, what better place to look than Hashem, right? There's nothing better in the world than Hashem. So learn from Him how to be good.
Kola.
What? Hashem's much better than the Kola guys. At least, yeah. I think I could say that with confidence.
We're pretty good.
Okay, so now we want to go through the 13 midos and what they are. Just FYI, there are a lot of opinions how to break up these psukim into 13 midos. We're only going to choose one because it would get way too confusing for me to do a lot. And if the whole point is to understand it, and you get all complicated and technical, then you're not going to really be able to think about it, because then it's confusing. So we're going to pick one way to divide it up into 13. And there's also a lot of opinions of what they mean. But again, we want to keep it a little bit simpler so that we can concentrate on it and we can understand it. So we're going to go with one. One way to break it up and one understanding. Okay, the first one was, if you want to follow along, I apologize, I didn't print you out a list, but in the very top of the first source in the Psukim, where it says Hashem, Hashem, that's where they start, okay? Or in the English is the Lord, the Lord, yeah? So the first one is Hashem, the Lord. That's Hashem's first midah of mercy. So what does it mean? So it's explained that it means that Hashem knows everything, right? Hashem knows what was, Hashem knows what is, and Hashem knows what will be. So Hashem knows that I'm going to sin tomorrow. Hashem knows that I'm going to do something wrong tomorrow. And yet today, He still gives me good things. He still gives me air to breathe, and He still gives me food to eat, and He still gives me water to drink, and He still gives me health and happiness and all these good things, even though tomorrow I'm not going to be a good guy. That's really nice of Him, right? He knows that I'm going to slap Him in the face tomorrow. I'm going to do something wrong, because we all slip. And yet we still get good from Hashem. That's Hashem's first way of being merciful to us. That before we even sin, He knows we're going to do it, He's still merciful to us. So I was thinking that a way that we can emulate that is, we know people who aren't going to be nice to us, right? Everyone has people in their life that they know whenever they bump into that guy, he's not going to be nice. That's just how he is. So we could try, it might not be so easy, but like Hashem is nice to us, even though we are not going to be good tomorrow, we can be nice to that guy, even though we know that he might not be nice to us tomorrow. That's the first midah of Hashem. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, again, Hashem, the Lord. That's the second one. It's the same word as the first one, but it's a different one. That's why it's repeated. So how is it different? It means that even after we sin, we did something wrong, so Hashem should stop being nice to us, right? We just slapped Him in the face. We did something not nice to Him. We did something He didn't want us to do. But He doesn't. He keeps giving us air to breathe. He keeps giving us food and drink and happiness and health. And even though we sinned. So that's another way that Hashem is merciful to us. Even though we've already wronged Him, we did something that we shouldn't have done, He still continues to be good to us. Which, again, we can emulate that. Again, it's not easy. None of these are easy. I know they're not easy. But somebody was not nice to you, you can try to not hold it against them. You could try. It's not easy, but it's something that we can try to emulate. And just interesting note, the first two midos we said are the same word. It's repeated because they mean two different things. One means before you sin, and one means after you sin, but it's the same word. So why would that be? There's a lot of Hebrew words that could have been used to explain this. So I saw that it's to teach us that Hashem's goodness doesn't change ever, from before to after, all the span of time, it's always the same. Hashem's goodness doesn't waver. It doesn't change if He knows we're going to sin. It doesn't change if we've already sinned. It's always the best. Okay, so that's the first two, Hashem and Hashem. Number three, Kel. Which in English it just says God, because Kel is one of the names of Hashem. The name of Hashem, Kel, always means Hashem is the most powerful. So when it comes to the midos of mercy, It means that Hashem is infinitely powerful in his mercy. So what does that mean? That means that in all of these midos that we're going to explain, there's all different sorts of levels that you can, that they can happen. Someone could do a big sin, someone could do a little sin. So if Hashem is nice to you before you do a little avera, a little sin, it's a less level of mercy than before you've done a very big sin. But he does it either way. If you've done already a small sin, or you've done already a big sin, he's still good to you. So again, it's all sorts of levels of mercy, and it follows through for all of these. They can all be in big ways and in small ways. So this Midah teaches us that Hashem's mercy is on all levels. From the lowest level to the highest level, up to infinity. There's no limit to Hashem's mercy. Again, this is something we can emulate. We can learn from Hashem that whether someone has done something really not nice to us or something not so not nice, just a little bit not nice, either way, we don't have to hold it against them. We can try to forgive. Okay, that was three. Hashem, Hashem, Kel. Now we have Rachum, which literally translated means merciful, which, you know, fits with what we're talking about. So how is Hashem merciful in a fourth way? Hashem is merciful. He doesn't want us to sin. Hashem prefers that we do good so that he can reward us. That's why he created the world. He created the world so that we can succeed and we can do good things, and he can reward us for that because that's what he wants to do. So Hashem helps us avoid sinning. Everyone can try to see in their own life. An example could be somebody gets a flat tire. They're on the way to a meeting and they get a flat tire. So it seems bad, but maybe, had you gotten on time to that meeting, a situation that might not have been so good would have come up, and you might not have done something that you should have done. Hashem gave you the flat tire to avoid the situation entirely, because Hashem doesn't want you to do, he doesn't want you to do bad, he wants you to do good, he wants you to succeed. So he helps you out, along the way. You might not notice it, but that's what Hashem does. Because he wants us to do well, he wants us to succeed. So I thought that We in our dealings with people have times where we know that if I go do this with that person or I go see that person in that situation, it's not going to go well. Someone's going to get upset and do this. So avoid it. Why do we have to get into a situation where it's going to lead to unpleasantness? We can try to avoid it before it even happens, just like Hashem helps us to avoid unpleasant situations where we might do the wrong thing. We can also try to do the same thing. Okay, that was four. Are we all clear so far? Okay, number five, V'chanun, which is translated over here as gracious and gracious. Hashem is gracious. So what does that mean? So they explain that not only does Hashem help us avoid sin, but once we've already sinned, Hashem gives us opportunities to do tshuva. He wants us to do tshuva. He wants us to repent. He wants us to be able to do better. So Hashem gives us opportunities to do better. A very good example of that is the time period we're in right now. Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the whole Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Hashem comes close to us and Hashem gives us an opportunity to come back to Him because He loves us and He wants us to do well. So Hashem is Chanun. Hashem comes close to us to give us the opportunity to come back to Him. I didn't translate it. So I don't know.
It feels like rachamim.
It's another type of rachamim. We got 13 here.
Well, gracious, but mercy is treating something heavy as if it were light. Graciousness means giving us time. You know, giving us time. There's no lightening of the burden.
Good? Okay. So Hashem gives us opportunities to do better. It's not just Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Sometimes throughout the year, you might have a moment of inspiration. That was a gift from Hashem for you to try to do better because He wants you to do better. So this can be, this we can apply to our own lives in that if we have somebody that we might be in a fight with or we might not be getting along with, find an opportunity to make up with them. We can find opportunities. It happens. You have a chance to make a phone call to say hi to them. You have a chance to, you bump into them in the street instead of like crossing the street. Say hello. You know, move past it. Give your friend opportunities to do better, just like Hashem gives you opportunities to do better. Okay. Number six, Erech Apayim, which they translate here as long suffering, which means We just said that Hashem wants us to do tshuva, and He gives us opportunities to do tshuva. But not only does He give us opportunities to do tshuva, He will wait a long time for us to do tshuva. He doesn't punish us right away after we've done an avera. Nobody does an avera, sins, and gets struck by lightning in the street. It doesn't happen. Hashem gives us time. People do things their whole life, and it's a whole long process. We have our whole life. Hashem waits for us to do tshuva.
In the Siddur, it translates it to slow to anger.
Which might fit a little bit better with what we're saying. Right.
Long suffering means he bears for a long time.
When we are sinning, Hashem suffers, right? Because He doesn't like it. So He takes that for a long time. He waits. And He takes that suffering for a long time. Or He's slow to anger. You could say that He doesn't punish us with His anger right away. He'll wait, right? But I think either way we could come out with the same thing. The point is that Hashem wants us to do tshuva, so He'll wait for us. He gives us time. Which, again, we can emulate that also. If somebody does something to you, does something that you don't like, don't get angry right away. Give the guy a chance. Maybe he'll say sorry. Maybe you'll realize that he didn't even mean to do something wrong. But don't jump to being upset. Okay. That was number 6. Yeah? Number 7, Virav Chesed, which they translate as abundant in goodness. So, they explain this as that when you have somebody who might be, 50-50 or 51-49 to the bad side, and really Hashem doesn't want to punish us. So, if the guy is close enough, or pretty close, Hashem will tilt the scales in his favor, and he'll, cheat a little for the guy that it's close enough. It's fine, and He won't punish him. That's what Rav Chesed, I think it makes sense that it's Virav Chesed because it's like cheating almost. All the other ones were like giving you time or waiting, whatever. This is the guy really, if you think about it, he's more bad than good. And Hashem says, yeah, that's fine. It's close enough. So that's Virav Chesed. That's a tremendous amount of kindness. Which again, this is something we can emulate. You have people who in your life could be borderline. You're not sure if you like them or not. So give them a chance. They're not so bad. And have a good relationship with that person. Okay.
Maybe also the things they do. So you're not sure if
it's good or bad. You could be down the kavskas.
Maybe.
You could judge them favorably. Maybe.
Even if you really don't believe it.
Right. Okay. If it's more likely that it was a bad thing than a good thing, you can push it on the good side anyway. Another good idea. Okay, the MS is the next one, and truthful. So, Hashem is truthful. Which strictly could be translated as Hashem goes strictly by the letter of the law. But we just saw so far 7 ways that Hashem does not go strictly by the letter of the law. He gives us time, He gives us opportunities, He'll tilt the scales even when really it's to the bad side. Yeah. So what's strictly to the letter of the law? So it's explained that Hashem is strictly to the letter of the law when it comes to reward. No matter how bad a person is, if they're deserving of reward, He will never withhold their reward. He'll withhold punishment to no end. There's no end to the amount that Hashem will withhold punishment. But reward will never be withheld. It's always MS. It's always truthful to the strict letter of law. If you're deserving of reward, you will always get it. At maybe this world, maybe next world, but you will always get it. It will never be withheld. He'll never just wipe it away and say, you know what, I don't like this guy, so I'm going to take away his reward. Which this is an important lesson for us. There are people who maybe did something that we didn't like or we don't get along with or we have issues with, but they did something good to us maybe once or twice or however many times. You can't forget that, even though he's been not nice or not good. But they have good things that they've done. We have to appreciate the good where there is good. Okay. Number 9 is Notzer Chesed La'alafim, that Hashem pays back for 2,000 generations. So that means exactly what it says, that Hashem continues to reward good deeds for 2,000 generations. That means today we are getting rewarded for things that were done 2,000 generations ago. I don't know how many years that is. That's a long time ago. So
I don't think there are 2,000 generations.
There you go. So we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten to the point where it's 2,000 generations. So it's like, okay, we're drawing the line. What?
Like 40,000 years.
Yeah, so it basically means he doesn't stop rewarding for good, right? I don't know why it's 2,000 then, but...
Is it 2,000 or...
La'alafim is thousands. Thousands. Here it says, unto the thousandth. It's a really long time. That's how we're going to translate it.
It's a lot. Thousands.
So, but that means a big example of this is that we still get rewarded for what Avraham Avinu did. We bring up the Akedah a lot by the binding of Yitzchak. We bring that up a lot by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's one of the reasons we blow a shofar. Ask Rabbi Cook. He's the expert. And why we blow the shofar. So, why do we do that? Because Hashem is still going to reward us for that. We're still going to be rewarded for the fact that Avram and Yitzchak did that. So, meaning that if somebody, the scale might be to the bad side, he didn't have such a good year, but Hashem will remember what his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather and all the generations back, what they did, for what the good things they did, and that will be held in your favor. This is an interesting one to emulate. You might have somebody in your life whose parents or grandparents did chesed for you, so it would be our responsibility in emulating Hashem to remember that and do chesed, do kindness for their children or grandchildren. Okay. The next three... Maybe. I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, the next three kind of go together. We're going to do them together. It's Nosei Avon, Vafesha, Vachata'a. Hashem removes Avon, and Fesha, and Chata'a, which they translate here as Hashem removes or forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, which is just three words for sin. So what are the three types of sins that Hashem removes? The three types of sin Hashem removes are intentional sins, rebellious sins, and unintentional sins. Whether we did something wrong on purpose, whether we did something wrong just to get Hashem upset, hopefully we try to avoid that one, and whether we did things by accident, all three of those, Hashem forgives them. Whether it was on purpose, whether it was by accident, or whether it was to be, you know, in his face. That's right. Which, this is, again, something that we can emulate. Whether somebody's done something intentionally or unintentionally to us, or whether somebody did something to get us angry, we can try to forgive them, just like Hashem forgives us. And lastly, vinake, Hashem wipes them away, Hashem cleans them. They translate it here.
Cleanses? In the Siddur.
Okay, so the way it's explained is that Hashem, when we do a complete tshuva, Hashem will wipe away our sins as if we had never done them. Which could mean that there won't be any punishment at all whatsoever. If there's any negative repercussions that came out from the sin that we did, they won't be, because he's wiping it away completely. It's as if we didn't do it. It's said that when we do sins, that there are negative things that are brought out into the world because of the sins that we did in a spiritual way, it's gone. It's nothing. We didn't do the aver. It didn't happen. It's like it never happened. That's
so
what Vinay came
so
in.
So that Gehenna and
no.
All the cleansing.
If you do a proper tshuva, you won't need it. Okay. You didn't do it
ever. So does that go to Rabbi Dr. Ruckelman's question when he asked about, does it wipe away the sins?
If you just say this, if you just say them, if you say them properly with the right kavana, with the right intent, and you understand them, and it helps you connect to Hashem, so that's part of your tshuva process, that's part of your coming back to Hashem, and it could help towards wiping away your sins. It's a very high level of tshuva that brings to wiping away sins as if you've never done the avera. That's like the highest level of tshuva. But it's something that Hashem does. It's possible. A person can do a level, you can return to Hashem in a way so high that it's as if he didn't do averas.
In what part of the process of tshuva does it really fall in?
What?
Three steps of tshuva that you've given me
there? This? I'm not
sorry,
sure.
I'm coming in the middle.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and that wasn't part of the parsha.
I'm not sure.
It could be a drive for all of them, all of the above. I don't think you're saying it's part of the three.
No.
It's a drive.
But we did say that if you say them in the right way, that you will get forgiveness if you do them.
But didn't you also say we say it's all through davening, all in every four? So it's not just one part of the pot.
It's in addition. I think it's in addition. We have a responsibility to do tshuva in the way that's set forth by the Rambam, right? There's a very specific formula. There are halachos. There's laws of how to do tshuva. Vidui, charata, you have to confess, you have to regret, you have to accept not to do it again. This is something that is in addition to that. It's not instead of, or it's something that you should also do. It's worthwhile to also do, because it will give you extra zchusim that your tshuva will be better.
What I understood from the Gemara is that by emulating these attributes of mercy from Hashem, that itself will help us achieve forgiveness.
Yes, that's true. But I don't think that it means you don't have to do tshuva.
Well, why can't it be? It'll be tshuva.
If you say these, even if you have all the right kavanas, have you done vidui and charata and kabbalah al asir?
Kabbalah al asir.
Okay, but you, and aziv asachet.
It seems that this is an inseparable part of the process to get us to achieve goal along with, side by side, those other.
I think that's right. I think that's true. I think that's how it is. Right. This is very powerful if we do this properly, and it will help us get forgiveness, but it's not the only thing that is necessary. It's a very important part of the process, and it works together with doing tshuva in the way that we need to do tshuva. You can't spend your whole life doing averas and then say these with kavana, and that's it. You need to work towards being better, but this is a tool.
I understand, but you know, like if somebody shows up one time a year on Yom Kippur and sees Gimel Midah the Kavanah,
he will get a certain level of forgiveness from Hashem. Hashem promises us that if you try to act like this, that was the first part of that, if you try to act like this, and you say it with Kavana and understand how Hashem acts like this, and connect to Hashem through that, if you do that, you will get some sort of forgiveness. You won't be turned away empty-handed, and Hashem will forgive you. Will it be the last level of Vinake, the completely wiped away as if you didn't do any veras? I don't think so.
That you have to work on all year.
Yeah. There's no tricks. There's no tricks. That's not how Judaism works. There's no tricks. You need to work. It's hard, right? There's work. So this is not a trick, but it helps. It helps. If you do it right. But if you do it right, it's work also. You can't do this right as a trick. You do it right, it's because you're working. Right? Okay, we're good? We can continue? Okay, so we've explained the 13. I'm going to give out cards that have like a shorthand version of all the, you know, I might as well give them out now.
After the Nakeh, Lo Nakeh, what is that?
I'm not sure.
That's a pool, Rabbi Rabinovich told me. The husband doesn't have to clean on Pesach.
Lo Nakeh,
taking a pass.
Wait,
did you say the wife doesn't have to clean up Pesach? Is that what you said?
I did. I'm just saying what I observe in my house. I don't know.
These are bookmarks that have like a shorthand version of what we've taught so far. You could stick it in your Yom Kippur machzer and it could help you. It could help you. Yeah, but I didn't, then you wouldn't have needed the class.
How do all these things go together with how do we understand that in light of Hashem's midah emes? Hashem's supposed to be pure truth. You say he's only true for good and not true for the punishment. How is that?
Not sure. But Hashem balances two ways of acting towards us. It's his rachamim and his din, right? His rachamim is that he's merciful, and din is that he goes with strict judgment. Strict judgment means that if you do something wrong right now, you're done, finished. He's going to punish you on the spot. But he doesn't do that. He does both. He balances them. So, I mean, that has to be part of it, at least. And that's not a full answer, but it's part of it. Okay. So I think we've answered the questions that we asked at the beginning. The reason that we say the Yod Gimel Midos was our first question is because it will inspire us and remind us to emulate them, to try to act in the same way. And we spoke out different ways that we could try to do that. And in addition to that, it's a way of connecting to Hashem. Hashem wants to be merciful to us, but He wants us to ask for it. So through saying this, we're asking Hashem to act this way towards us, and He will if we ask for it. It's not flattery. We ask that. It seems like this is flattery. It's not flattery. We're not flattering Hashem. We're reminding ourselves to act like this, and we're asking Hashem to act like this. We're not just empty flattery. It's a request. And we asked how they're different, and I think we explained how each of the 13 is a very specific way that Hashem is merciful. So just one parting thought. It's been spoken about a lot. Rabbi Haber spoke about it. Rabbi Harpaz spoke about it at Chalashidus and Shabbos, that it's a good idea when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to take on a small Kabbalah, to take on something to do better throughout the next year, something small. A Rebbe of mine, Rav Leuchter is his name, said that the point of this is to succeed, not to fail. We want to do better, and we want to keep up what we take on to do. So his idea was find an area in which you excel. Find what is it that you are the best at, and do that a little bit better.
That doesn't make sense.
Why not?
Because you should do something that you're not so good at.
But then you might stop in a week.
In a break.
Ship?
Good,
what's better? What's better, to do something you're bad at for a week or to do something you're good at better for a year?
You should have the goal to do
maybe if you start doing better in the things that you're good at, it will get you to be better at the things that you're not so good at. I think that's what I think that was his intention. Anyway, that's what he said.
She's very good at salad. She's going to eat now better than
me. Anyway, that was his idea.
No, I'm just.
And I think it's true. Mrs. Yitzchak argues. That's okay. It seems to me, from being here in the short time that we've been here, that this community excels at chesed, at being nice to people. We're still getting invites for Shabbos.
Even though you don't take the invitations.
Well, you have to invite earlier in the week.
Too many.
That's the point. We get too many that we haven't been able to take up on all of them. People are very nice here. People are very good at being nice here. That's how it is here. It's a very nice, friendly place.
Chesed v'emet.
What?
It counts.
As what? Of course it counts. Yeah. Of course it counts.
Yeah. Mercy.
It's a tremendous chus. It's a tremendous merit going into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that you're nice people. But if you're going to take on something to do better, why not take on something in an area in which you're good at, which I think everyone here is good at this stuff. So find somewhere that maybe you could be a little bit better. We've spoken out many ideas. And not only will it work for your Kabbalah of doing something better this year, but it will be being mekayim these. It will be fulfilling what we've spoken about in the class of trying to emulate Hashem in these ways. And with that, we should merit all merit to be sealed for a good year, and we should have a lot of good davening this Yom Kippur. And you can use the bookmarks, hopefully, and it'll help you in your davening. And we should all be zocha to a great year.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's plenty of these if you want.